Psalm 139. Let's look at, again, we're going to go forward here with Psalm 139, 14. Looking at Fearfully and Wonderfully Made again. Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. This whiteboard was not wonderfully made. Look at this. Yeah, it's 2 years is what you get out of a $60 whiteboard. I guess now it's an instrument of some sort for music. That one came from Hobby Lobby. That's the only place that had a big one that was local. You can order them online. We'll probably get another one online, get a better one. But anyway, it served its purpose for a few days. Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. Let's see, Psalm 139, 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So, like I say, this whiteboard was not wonderfully made. It might have been fearfully made, but it wasn't wonderfully made. But let's see here. I was thinking about this the other day. We talk about, you know, this craziness of evolution, the craziness of, you know, this Big Bang Theory or what have you, or, you know, the atheists and what they think. I was talking to a guy the other day, and actually, when I was talking with him, I said, hey, is anybody ever, let me give you something to read about the Lord. I said, I pastored a church over in Ohio. Let me give you something to read about the Lord. And he took it, and he said, I'll read that. He said, I'm taking this as a sign. His neighbor passed away that morning, and him and his neighbor were really good friends. So he said, I used to be an atheist, and I'm not really an atheist now. It's more of a, I said, maybe an agnostic. He said, yeah. He said, but I believe, I said, well, you can't look around at all this and think it was an accident. He said, no, I believe there's a creator out there. I'm just not sure who he is. And we talked about the Lord, talked about the Bible, and talked about salvation, even the plan of salvation. He said, I believe that. I said, believing it's a good thing, but have you ever done that? Have you ever called on Christ, trusted him as your Lord and Savior? He said, no, I haven't. Well, you need to do that. I don't push people. I said, why don't you do it right now? And, you know, ABC, repeat it after me. I said, you need to do that. You don't want to wake up in hell and have to be over with. Did get to talk to him about that. But, that it's just so ridiculous to think that everything comes from nothing, or you can't get to any rational thought process without God when it comes to the beginning or existence at all. You know, and again, everything would come from nothing, and everything was condensed into a dot. Okay, so everything existed, and then it went to a dot, and then it existed again. I mean, it's not rational thought process what these so-called scientists go through. And then to say, maybe we were seeded here by aliens. Well, the aliens had to have had a beginning then, or they always existed. Why can they believe that, but they can't believe God always existed? See, the problem is, the more they try to prove that we can figure everything out, the more they prove we can't figure everything out. They don't want to be accountable for sin, and they want to be able to say, I can explain everything. And then when you get them on the ropes and you say, you can't explain this, they go, well, yeah, but maybe this. Well, here we are at maybe. How about maybe God did it? Amen? Genesis 1:1, God did it. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. I was thinking about this. Isn't it funny that, now, I know there are mutation exceptions and stuff like that, but isn't it funny that everybody has 10 fingers and 10 toes? And why would everybody still have 10? Isn't there a part of the world where you think 12 would come in handy? I mean, if people were just developing stuff because they needed it and getting rid of stuff because they didn't need it, that use it or lose it thing when it comes to evolution, I mean, surely somewhere that, I don't know about you, but even tying knots, sometimes it'd be handy to have a different number of fingers. Yeah. Carrying things? Well, Walmart bags kind of took care of that. You can carry 40 pounds of groceries in one hand now because you've got loops on all them bags. But, you know, why would everybody still have 10 fingers and 10 toes? Isn't that weird? And, you know, at the end of those fingers and toes, you got nails. So sometime, you know, through evolution, people smacked their fingers and toes until they decided, hey, I need some nails. So the people were the God, or the cells were the God, or the DNA code was the God, but they can't have the God of the Bible. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, all this stuff's ridiculous. Okay, you got eyes? You have eyelids? Tear ducts. That's an amazing bunch of chance there that all this stuff would just come about. You know? And a digestive system. Boy, that's amazing. The digestive system. In the mouth is where digestion actually starts. You got enzymes in the mouth, in the saliva, that not only start to break down food, but they tag the food for other enzymes that are farther down the digestive system. Now, that it's necessary because certain things are absorbed through the mouth, certain things are absorbed through the small intestine, certain things are absorbed in different parts of the small intestine, certain things have to have the stomach acid to be absorbed and broken down. It's just amazing this stuff just happened to happen that way, right? No, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. God did this. God did this to show scientists that he's smarter than they are. But they refuse to accept that. But, you know, you get in the large intestine, you get to absorption and reabsorption and all this stuff, and get the kidneys and liver, all these different things going on, and the gallbladder, all these things going on at the same time. These things aren't just neat, they're necessary. For a human being to live, these things are necessary. So how did the ones through the evolutionary, quote-unquote, evolutionary process, how did they make it to this point? They didn't get it. That's just like that, I can't remember the scientist's name, he was a dentist and had a couple science degrees, and he talked about that bombardier beetle that blows that explosive charge out the back of it to expel it from the enemy, and it's a noxious smell that gets rid of the enemy. But what about the first one? That it would have blown up. Or it wouldn't have worked, and the thing would have ate it. So it had to develop that, allegedly, according to evolutionists. So it just doesn't make sense. The first one had to be perfect, or it wouldn't exist. So that doesn't even make sense. But the human body is even much more complex than a bombardier beetle. And, you know, man, the more man does that you can see and hear and touch, the easier it is for them to get away from God, because they're like, look what I can do. Look what God did. They can't do that. I don't even necessarily believe they cloned a sheep. I'm not even necessarily believing that. Who knows? If they did, it didn't work. Yeah. But I mean, how do you know they did it anyway? There's a sheep that looks just like all the other sheep. How do you prove they cloned it? Yeah. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I'm just saying they lie so much and they're so deceptive and self-deceived and self-deluded. I don't know if you can believe most anything they say when it comes to stuff like that. But the basic stuff that we believe and understand about science, or think we understand about science, it has to be from a creator. It just absolutely has to be. And then we talk about the, you know, outside of the amylase and different things in the enzymes in the mouth that break down and tag foods. They did a research on cows where they put the food straight in their stomach instead of putting it through their mouth, and they found out there were a lot of things they weren't getting in their bloodstream. That's how they initially figured out that it had to be in the mouth. And if you actually, you guys that are over 50 have heard this, but most of these, I don't think everybody hears it anymore. Chew your food. My grandma's one of my grandma's favorite things. Chew your food. I'm like, this is the woman with false teeth, right? Chew your food. Well, I come to find out, the more you chew your food, the better it digests. And drink water. Well, come to find out, when you drink water before it opens up the digestive system and your food digests and works better. There's just all kinds of stuff that's just, you know. The first thing it didn't have teeth. It just got some food and everything worked out. Now we chew our food. That didn't even make sense. God created man, and man is fearfully and wonderfully made. The human body is an amazing self-filling machine. I say self-filling, but I lean more toward the God, the spark of life, give all that, started all that. But fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's look at, we can get into the eye and talk about that for several days. The ear, the ear canal, the hair cells, the cochlea, all that stuff, the eustachian tubes for balance, all this stuff that had to be in play. These things that allegedly crawled and then walked on four, and now they walk up, right? They had to develop all this stuff to have a coordination to walk on 2 feet. Without your cochlea and all that stuff in the balance system, you wouldn't be able to walk on 2 feet. Not like a sober person. Usain Bolt wouldn't be in the picture. Amen? None of this stuff, just it's not an accident. It's ridiculous to think that. Look back at the cell again. And a lot of organelles, small organs basically in the cells. And I mean, we're not going to look at everything. Of course, I'm not even sure they know what everything is. We're not going to look at what we think we do know. But you have, ribosomes. I'm digging into the old files here. Golgi apparatus. And mitochondria, we'll look at that a lot. Mitochondria, and then with ribosomes, ribosomes you're looking at, and Golgi apparatus you're looking at protein production. Protein, we'll call it synthesis, so we'll be scientific. Protein synthesis, and packaging, because certain proteins have to be packaged to get them moved across cell membranes and stuff like that. And also lipid molecules packaged so they can be transported and used for different things. And then we've got amazing stuff. I mean, messenger RNA. Which has the sequence that is the code for protein synthesis. That's a major accident that happened to get the proteins to be formed, and the hundreds and hundreds of proteins that are produced in the mitochondria and being the powerhouse or power plant for the cells. Power production. How in the world could you, as a scientist or as a normal thought process human being, look at this and say, wow, what a neat accident? Right? This would be like, I mean, to put it real simple, like we've heard probably a lot of times, I've seen Robert pull in that big old nice white Chevy pickup. Man, I wonder how that thing come together on its own. No, I think somebody had air tools and wrenches and a plan and parts, and they put it together. A bunch of people. There was somebody that designed that thing and put it together. Just like Robert was walking down the road, and all of a sudden this truck formed beside him, and he jumped in it. That'd be easier to believe in this. But this is an amazing thing. That messenger RNA, I don't remember all the coding. I'm digging 30 years deep. ACTG coding and a different sequences of that just allows amino acids to turn into proteins. It's just an amazing thing. I want to look at the mitochondria for a minute, though. Well, several minutes. Get rid of this stuff. I wonder if I took the sides off this, if I could re-glue that or something. But anyway, mitochondria. If I spell something wrong, that's just too bad. I didn't start this. I'd have called it the generator or something like that. I wouldn't have called it mitochondria. That's right, though. So it's the powerhouse. I don't like the same powerhouse. I thought power production. For cells. Interesting thing about mitochondria is that heart muscle cells
have more of them.
Why would that be? Because they constantly beat. They need more power. You don't constantly do this. If you did, you would be the Terminator after a while, right? Yeah. But the heart muscle cells have more mitochondria. Guess what else does? Kidney. Why? Because they function all the time. They have to do with the cell volume and cell concentrations of different body fluids and things. And also the liver. Liver's constantly detoxing and creating things and moving glycogen around, storage process for sugars and stuff like that. All this stuff. And not only that, there's a exercise, especially aerobic, they say. Exercise and good fats. Oh, I put an extra T on that one. That's all right, though. That one was extra fat. Good fats and let's just say good foods. I don't want to get into all this. Good foods lead to, loosely, we'll call it upregulation, which is the mitochondria doing two things. They produce more energy. Produce more energy. More efficient. Another interesting thing about this is they produce more mitochondria. Mitochondria has its own genome. It has its own genetic material in there that code for more mitochondria. And if that mitochondria gets to the point where you're eating good and you're exercising a lot and you can't get enough energy, it will actually replicate more mitochondria. You can have more powerhouses in that. Not only does that one become more efficient, you can have more of them. And that's all done independent of cell division and reproduction. That's something that's happening inside the cell before the cell is even reproducing. It's not dependent on the cell cycle. It's dependent on a need. Isn't that an amazing evolutionary trait? Ha-ha, quote-unquote, evolutionary trait. I mean, what we find out is the deeper you get into true science is God is more awesome than you could ever understand. And we are more limited in our understanding than we can admit or realize. Just an amazing thing. That mitochondria, one of the most amazing accidents to ever happen in evolution, quote-unquote evolution. Here you've got the cell, you've got the mitochondria, then you've got this, and my artwork is terrible, I apologize, that's okay. I'm going to forgive myself for it. You've got the outer membrane. Inner membrane. You've got the gel-like substance between it. You've got all this activity going on in here. ATP production. Energy production. That's the most basic that we really understand about it, other than going into partial charges and things like that and ions. But let's see, oxidative. I'm going to use fancy terms here because I paid for them once. Phosphorylation. That's a fancy word for means that it puts another P on the ADP to make it ATP. So oxidative means it has to have oxygen. ADP to ATP, and then this gives off the this, and then you got NADH. It just gets really complicated, and I'm not sure we really understand all of it. NAD. So the ADP is in its less valuable form than the ATP is a valuable form because it has a protein, has a phosphorus to get rid of, and the energy has to do with. But the thing about it, the complexity of this and this whole thing that's going on is called, we talked about this before, called the Krebs cycle. Basically, ADP is turned into ATP. What we do understand of it's much more complex than this, but who cares, right? All we know is God did it. So the Krebs cycle, the ADP, the ATP, is dependent on oxygen. It's dependent on enzymes. And it's dependent on other cofactors, coenzymes. Well, concentration gradients. You have to have the right concentration of certain things and differences. We're talking about osmosis, diffusion, active, passive diffusion, all this stuff. And you're looking at all this stuff that has to be just so this can turn into this. ADP. And then you've got, and I'm pretty sure I might put this backwards. I don't remember this from biochemistry exactly. It's been 30 years. But NADH has something to do with this. That there's just, it's just so complex, there's absolutely no way it could actually accidentally happen. If this could accidentally happen, you would walk down the spice aisle in Walmart and cakes would be baking. They'd just be developing all over the place. Right? Because, you'd have to put eggs in the aisle, probably. But you got the powdered milk. You've got the cake mixes. I mean, you don't even need to get too complicated. The cake mixes are there. But you'd think the powdered milk and the... If you just put eggs in there a couple days, you'd think there'd be cakes popping up all over the place in that aisle. Right? It's amazing. I guess it's where... I don't want the responsibility of there not being a God. You know what I mean? It's an amazing thing that this... Well, and then they look at a tadpole... Or, a tadpole, and it's a process of change. And they, instead of saying, wow, God's amazing, they say, wow, evolution's amazing. Science is amazing. I'm going to understand this so I can be smarter than you. And they just become more willfully ignorant. They're just, it's ridiculous. There's absolutely no way. I mean, you could probably learn about two-thirds of this in a high school science class, and that just blows my mind. There's no way this could be an accident. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's all about you can be like God.
Is
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm not saying they didn't clone the sheep. They probably did. But they lie so much, I don't know what to think. And they're lying to themselves. If they can convince themselves to believe what they believe, they don't mind lying to you about anything. The fearfully and wonderfully made thing, though, I mean, just the kidney itself is such an amazing thing. And the reason, well, like we talked about the mitochondria and the kidney cells, the mitochondria, you get into the loop of Henle where you've got the water reabsorption and all this stuff and the sodium balance, all this stuff's going on in the kidneys. And it's constant. Even when you sleep, there's stuff going on. So the ability for the kidney to maintain and the liver, the ability for the organs of the body to maintain a proper range of pH, a proper range of sodium concentration, a proper range of potassium concentration. You get too much either one of them, you're dead. Chloride, too much chloride, you are dead. It's not about, you know, it's not about whether or not you got lucky and made it. There are millions and millions of people in this country right now that are walking around with that stuff going on because God set it up that way. If it was an accident, people would be dropping over like flies. Right? Look, their two parents got lucky and they made it in this evolutionary chain. Then they had this, down the line. Now these people are just dropping like flies because their potassium contents. You know, it just doesn't make sense. We'd have turned into something better than this by now. I mean, seriously. Yeah. Maybe that's why they're pushing this trans stuff. They can't find it in nature, so they're pushing for a transition. I don't know. But then there are a lot of people transitioning into Republicans right now. I think that's an evolutionary step in the right direction. Probably not just Republicans, but Bible-believing conservatives would be good. Well, and that's another thing science does, is they take, they're the biggest, I've lost that word, but plagiarists that you ever seen. Because 90% of pharmacology come from nature. And they do it, they'll try to recreate it in a lab and change a side chain on it or something. Or maybe add a side chain or two or three. They've got a similar structure, it does a similar thing, but what they add onto it is dangerous and harmful. So they've got something that comes from the bark of a tree, and they turn it, and you could basically have a ton of it, and it wouldn't hurt you. And then they take it, and you get milligrams of it, and it shuts this down or that down or causes this or causes that, and it's just ridiculous. The natural stuff is, yeah, you're right, the natural stuff. Yeah. And the fact that you crave certain things, when you're not eating trash and loading yourself up, forcing trash on yourself, you'll crave what your body needs. Pregnancy will show that. You'll start going, you know, I got to have pizza and pickles and ice cream. Why is it? There's something you need there. And your body says, I know I can get it from this. I know I'll probably get the toxins here too, but there's minerals in it that I need. There's something that your saliva and your brain go, that has what I'm missing. There's just something innate and born in us to tell us, if we don't override that and get rid of it, to tell us what to do to be healthy. It's inborn. It's God-given. So this whole thing about fearfully and wonderfully made versus, giant wonderful accident is ridiculous.